Tonight's show on TFM here. Hey, what's up? You're chilling with me, TP. Tonight in the studio, it's a very special evening with me. And I've got a very special guest in the midst of us. The man behind Bro, Don't Like That La Bro. And if Malaysia was anime, COVID Ball Z. Please welcome Ernest. Woo!
Hey.
Hi, Ernest. Thank you for coming onto the show. It is a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, TP.
No problem. Now, we're going to get right into the questions. First of all, we know that you're a very talented artist. You've started off the comic years ago. So, can you tell us like how your passion for art started?
How it started? Back when I was a kid, I actually enjoyed watching Saturday morning cartoons and I was really fascinated by Scooby-Doo. Yeah, I think I was like about 5 or 6 years old at that time. And I remember taking a piece of paper and drawing 12 panels of how the Mystery Machine Gang managed to catch this guy pretending to be a ghost. So I remember drawing that first piece and giving it to my mom. And then she's like, oh yeah, I'm going to keep it. But the next day it went missing. Yeah. So it upset me quite a bit. So, but I cried. 5 or 6 years old, ma. Then I took another piece of paper. I drew the exact same comic again, and I give it another piece to her. Yeah, that kind of shows that either I'm very, very determined with comics, or I'm just a young psycho back then.
But I think it's quite cool because you know how last time I also watched cartoons, Saturday morning cartoons were the best. But when you watch it, your mom's like, hey, how old are you already? Like when you grow up, right? And then they're like, you don't watch these kind of cartoons anymore. Like it doesn't suit your age. But then you realize that those people behind these cartoons are actually grown adults as well. They're making these cartoons for us. Like, well, so what's wrong with watching cartoons at that point, right? Yeah. All right. So at that point, were your parents very encouraging in terms of cultivating your passion in art?
Back then, I think my parents always try to like instill in my psyche that this is just a hobby.
Okay.
Whenever they catch me drawing, and then my dad will always like, remember, this is just a hobby. It's like, yeah, to ensure that I don't get carried away with it and think that it could be a career.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it didn't really work because there's one time, you know, when you're in school, teachers would give you this form and ask you write your three cita-cita.
Yes.
And
yes.
I remember writing Peluki's comic in one of them. Oh. And I think that kind of like upset my dad a little bit. Yeah. But after that, I kind of like wisened up when the second time my teacher sent that form again, I'll write Peluki's comic second and the first I write doctor.
So then how do you actually establish art as part of your career and showing to your parents that actually I can make a living out of art?
It wasn't easy. It was a very long journey. I think I really only started drawing seriously and like at a more like with a career in mind. Because previously I was just drawing it for fun, you know. And then after I graduated from uni, when blogging was a thing, I felt like if I were to write another blog, it would be just another blog. So I wanted to come up with something a little different. And I realized that, hey, why don't I just draw out my stories? So that's how it happened. Then from then on, then it became a regular thing that I do. Then I eventually get like commission jobs and things like that. That gave me an extra pocket money to pay for rent. And I think the only part where my parents really felt that this can be a viable career was when I published my first book in 2013 and it became a bestseller that year. So that's when I was like, yes, I guess I could actually make this stable. And I sort of like left my full-time job.
And that's when you decided to put out more comics for all of us to enjoy. Right now, we're going to go for a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll come back and talk to Ernest and more about his adventures writing comics. TFM, always with you.
Your nightly dose of fun and excitement. You're listening to The Night Show on TFM, always with you.
TFM. Annyeong, Night Show on TFM here. Hey, what's up? It's me, TP. Here tonight in the studio, we're talking to the author behind Bro, Don't Like That La Bro. And What If Malaysia Was an Anime, COVID Ball Z, author behind it, Ernest. So happy to have you in the studio. So just now we talked about how you actually transitioned into comic. But then here, a question that most of us would be curious to know about is, what were you doing before comic?
Oh, I was a video editor for TV3.
Oh. So it's not like that far apart in your line of work together with comic.
Not very far apart, yeah.
Oh, okay. Very cool. So talking about your artwork these days, it's inspired from the happenings around us. Very relatable, I would say. So would you say like these ideas when you draw out your comics are very accessible, or do you also face what they call writer's block as well?
Writer's block, I think, happens for a lot of writers. I mean, at whatever point of their career, they will definitely have writer's block. And so sometimes, it really depends. Sometimes some of the topics that happen, it gives me an instant idea, which I can like tie it to some other pop culture that I know, then to make it into like a reference. But sometimes there could be like just no idea at all. and I just decide to maybe not explore on it because I didn't want to force it. But then again, there's a third one where there's just way too many ideas, and like a certain topic, there's so many angles to go about it, and that also could give me writer's block because there's just way too many avenues to tackle this one issue. Yeah, and I only can choose one. Yeah.
Okay. Then at the event of having a writer's block, what will you do to find a solution to make it go away, or how do you overcome it?
Oh, just do something entirely different that is not drawing or anything creative.
Like
so
what?
Like
for
what? Me, it's like go to the gym, go for a run, go for a swim, watch TV, things like that. Just sort of like decompress in that sense where you just let everything go and just revisit later with a more clear mind. Because I think writer's block happens when you imagine like there's a cube in your head, there's an empty room in your head, and it's just filled with water, and there's no more room to fill any more water, so you just need to do something else to drain all the water out before you can fill in more water.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's how I would put it.
That is a very interesting example on how writer's block actually works. Very interesting. All right, so can you tell us, walk through us briefly on how you usually create a comic panel? Doesn't matter, for social media, for example.
Oh, okay. So for social media, it's usually I will just explore online on social media and see what everyone's talking about, see what's the trending news. One of my key go-to is actually Twitter.
Okay.
See what's the most trending topics. And then I will just write it down. And that's when I will start to think of all the ideas where I can, let's just say something happened in this issue happened. Then I'll try to find all the topics that can tie to this issue that kind of relates. Then I'll write it down. Then I will sketch it. Then once I feel comfortable with it, then I just ink and color and hope for the best.
Okay. I mean, the process...
It's actually very straightforward.
It's straightforward. But then how long does this whole process usually take, like for one comic?
Oh, wow. Back when I was drawing COVID ball like really regularly, like almost every week, the fastest turnover I could do is within like 9 to 10 days.
Ooh.
That was because there was a lot of things happening at that time.
True.
So ideas just, I mean, the engine just keeps running. But then I think right now is there's sort of like not say I won't say it's fatigue lah. It's more like the scene right now is a little different. You know, the topics that we talk about is a little bit more diverse right now. We're not really focused on certain topics right now.
Yep.
So, you know, I gotta pick and choose lah.
And I've always felt like the content that you put out are very on time-ish. Like, for example, things happened just 12 hours ago, and then like just a few hours later, I would be able to see a comic that's related to it, or you're able to connect with it with the latest happenings, animes, or put two into one, which is really, really cool. And I think that takes a lot of dedication and a lot of preparation for you to do things that fast too. All right, so right now we're going to go for a quick break, but don't go anywhere because coming back, we'll talk to Ernest about I'm not going to tell you. Stay tuned. TFM, always with you.
This is TFM 102.7 in Kuching, 100.7 in Cebu, 102.8 in KK. TFM, always with you.
Bonjour, nation TFM here. Hey, what's up? It's me, T-Pay. So, in the studio tonight, we're talking to Ernest Ng, the man that you might not know, but he is the author behind our very Malaysian favorite comic on internet, which is Bro Don't Like That La Bro. You can find it on Instagram. You can check out the comic panels. Amazing. And also, the one that blew up on COVID, What If Malaysia Was an Anime, COVID Ball Z. So happy to get to talk to Ernest. So just now we covered your career, how you transitioned into comic. The next part is, you said that you have writer's block as a challenge when it comes to writing a comic, but are there any typical other challenge that a lot of people wouldn't know about in terms of writing comic or creating comic?
Oh, the tediousness. Like when you were drawing comics, it's actually a pretty tedious affair. Like you would think that it will get easier over time, but actually it wouldn't, because the process is the same for every page and every panel. You have to like sketch it out, draw again. If it's not correct, you have to draw again, rewrite the script, ink, color. And this process is all one by one. You cannot jump to the final step.
Right.
I used to like to do that, but then I realized that the work quality isn't as good. You have to always like sort of like rehash the ideas and put more creative juices into it. But you also need to know your limit, because sometimes you overstay your welcome, and then that's when the things don't get out. You get stuck. Because you keep changing the idea.
And then you
find yourself in a loop. So I think what most creative people, so sometimes they have this issue, is that they have an idea, they want to put it out, but they're stuck in this creative loop. They want to keep improving it. But I guess one of the key things for creatives is that sometimes you just have to accept that nothing's perfect and just go with what you can.
I actually agree with that a lot. In terms of creativity, because some of us, we're not perfectionists, but when you put out an idea out there, you want it to be the best, and then you keep adding things, and then you sometimes you erase it, and you add more and add more and add more, and eventually it's chaotic. So what you say was really, really true, to just accept the imperfection that it is, and I think it's the lesson that we all need to learn over there. Now, talking about your comic, the If Malaysia Was Anime, COVID Ball Z, what the idea obviously started when COVID started, right? But what gave you the initiative? You know what? I'm going to write a comic about COVID.
Okay, well, actually, it's a lesser known fact. Actually, it started before COVID really landed in Malaysia. It was just a couple of episodes, a couple of weeks in, where Malaysia is going through this political turmoil, instability, you know. And then that's when no one knew what was going on. I did not know what was going on. So I went to read up upon it, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going to simplify this whole thing so that everyone understands what's happening in the most easily digestible manner. So I drew about that, about politicians playing Yu-Gi-Oh cards with each other to explain what the political situation was. And then a couple of weeks later, then the whole COVID thing happened, and people just kept asking, when's the next episode? When's the next episode? When's the next episode? And just like that, I already have 9 books of COVID Ball Z.
And just like that. Do you expect that the comic to go viral at first?
No. I guess because I try to keep this this kind of habit that I have whenever I put up something online. Just don't hope for it to go viral. Just see where it goes. Because if you get too hung up on virality and things like that, it will affect your mood for the next one. So it's just do your best what you can and hope something catches on. And thankfully, that whole political turmoil and COVID arc of Malaysia really caught on in a very big way. Yeah. And I managed to release a lot of pages of comics about it.
Yes, yes. And it was really fun to watch. Like you said, it's very relatable, and you keep it so simplified. Like, people that don't really follow the news would read your comics, and they would understand what actually happened in the most simple way. Like, my favorite was you incorporated so many of our favorite animes, Jujutsu Kaisen, for example. You put in so many things inside. It was so fun to read and go watch it. But we're going to take a quick break. But coming back, I have this very interesting question. How did your life change after making COVID Ball Z? Stay tuned, TFM, always with you.
The Night Show is here, only on TFM.
Hey, what's up? Night Show on TFM here. Hey, what's up? It's me, Tepe, here. Tonight in the studio, we are so happy that we get to talk to Ernest Ng, the man behind Malaysian favorite comic on the internet. We've got the Bro, Don't Like That La Bro, and also If Malaysia Was an Anime, COVID Ball Z. So like I said earlier in our earlier talk set just now, after your comic skyrocketed, loved by many during COVID, would you say that has given you or opened up more opportunities for you in terms of your work?
Yes, I mean, definitely there were more engagements and client works that I managed to explore. I've done a few huge brands with notable corporations and companies, and I've gotten some of my work displayed on digital billboards and 3D billboards in Klang Valley lah. Mm. So that's actually a really nice tick in my resume lah.
Cool. That now, obviously, now you have come a long way since then, and you have a very successful comics panel and everything. What would your next goal in your career be? Do you have a next thing that you want to achieve in your mind?
Right now, I don't really know. But there are a few things that I would want to try. Whether it works out or not, we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm kind of exploring making more card games. I'm developing tabletop games as well. I released a card game last year called I Have the Numbers. And then we're developing new ones, and also I'm trying to see if there's any avenue for me to dive a little bit into animation stuff.
Cool.
I've tried before, but it's not easy. So getting a team is quite essential order for the animation part to really take off.
So does this mean possibly maybe we can get a COVID Ball Z animation?
I do not know. I'm not sure.
Okay. Interesting.
Not sure about that yet. Yeah. But COVID Ball Z did get motion graphic animations for the first few chapters. And then we managed to do about 6 episodes in, but then we ran out of budget. But it was a fun process. We would like to revisit again, but maybe make it even better lah.
And
maybe the story, we will actually try to revamp it a little better. So that it has more worldwide appeal lah. Yeah, but we'll see how it goes. This is all like all up in the air right now. There's nothing concrete right
now. Understood. Now, my best of luck to you. We'll be looking forward to all of your work. Thank you. What would your advice be on artists who wish to turn their passion, you know, from the art line, no matter what it is, to turn into a full-time work?
I mean, just if you want to turn your passion into something, into a fulfilling career, just gotta do it. You gotta put in the hours. It's not an easy road. You have to sacrifice quite a bit. Like, I sacrifice a lot of sleep and outings with friends just to get my content out sometimes. And sometimes when I'm out with friends, I have an idea. I will actually like, I gotta go home now to draw this.
Really?
I've done that before. But thankfully, my friends were very understandable. I can't wait. You know, stuff like that. So it's a lot of sacrifice. But I think the key thing is the first step, most importantly, is to, if you have an idea, just create something and put it out there and just keep at it. You know, it's a very consistent process that you have to like put yourself through.
Understand. I think the word here is like there will be sacrifices, but you have to be consistent in putting out your work. All right. Yeah. And I think, thank you so much. That's it for today. Thank you so much, Ernest, for doing this with us.
Thank you.
It is such a pleasure to talk to you, and we wish you all the best in your future endeavors. No matter what comics you put out, we're looking forward to it. And like you said, the animation part, we will be looking forward for that as well. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
So that's it for tonight's show right here on TFM with me, TP. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't listened to the full one, don't worry, because we'll upload it to our podcast, TPOT, TAPOT. You can download it on Google Play Store, Apple App Store, and Huawei App Gallery, and listen to the interview, full interview, anytime, anywhere you like. With that, this is me, TP, signing off. TFM, always with you. Bye.